And we really are glad that you're here. If you are our guest, we really do hope that you'll take advantage of that connection card, that you'll fill out that information so that we can actually get connected to you. And we want you to know that this is a safe place for you to wrestle with some of your questions. You know, you may come here and you don't even believe in God. That's okay. This is an okay place to wrestle with that. Maybe you're just wrestling with God about something else. We want you to know that we're glad that you're here, and we want to go through this journey with you on that. And you're here on a great day. We're starting a brand new teaching series called Love, Fight, Win. Because we know there's a right way to love. We know there's a right way to fight so that you can win in your relationships. So for so many, many times, in fact, I just want to say this right off the bat. I am not standing here as somebody who is pretending like my marriage is perfect. So I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to think that about me. I don't want you, I don't want you to think that for, somehow I've got this all figured out and there's some secret code to this, because I don't have it figured out. Ask my wife; she'll tell you. In fact, I got this wrong a lot in the first few years of marriage. And then I still go through phases where I love the wrong way and where I fight the wrong way. But it's my heart to get this right. I'm more committed to Zoe than I have ever been in my marriage. And I am committed to getting this right, at least in the second half of my life. And I hope that you are too. I hope that you'll be committed to getting, to loving correctly, to loving the right way, and to fight the right way. We're going to uncover as we go through this throughout the weeks that there's a right way to fight and to argue. But not just as husbands and wives, but in all of our relationships. Because, I don't know how many of you remember this. This was my video game growing up right here, baby, right? Do you remember the old Rockin' Sock'em, And sometimes in our relationships, this is what it feels like, doesn't it? It feels like that we're just in this ring, we're just throwing our jabs. And, we'll throw a jab, with words in our relationship. But, there's a right way to do this. And we're going to uncover that. And but I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And so we're going to look at the foundation of love today. The foundation of this, we're going to look at two different passages in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. In fact, take your Bibles, you can go there. We're going to discover the foundation for love. And then, guys, we're going to talk directly to you, to us. I'm a guy, right? So we're going to talk to us from Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul zeroes right in on us as guys and the way that we need to love. But this foundational love, this is for everyone. And this is, even if you're not married, this is how we are to love the right way in all of our relationships. It all comes down to this. So let's go there. And verse number 7, the Apostle John is the author here. The same one who Jesus called into his circle. He was one of the 12. He was he's one of the 3. He was in Jesus' inner circle. He was an eyewitness of Jesus. He watched Jesus live this out. And then he writes about it. He wrote the Gospel of John, but then he wrote these little tiny letters in the back of your Bible called 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. These are letters written to Christ followers who are spread throughout Asia Minor. And he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Can you say that with me? God is love. Say it with me one more time. God is love. I want that to permeate your thoughts and your heart this morning. I want you to think about the depth of what John is saying. This is the essence of who God is that He is love. He is the originator of love. He's the creator of love. He is the standard. He's the metric. Anytime that you think that you are loving the right way in any relationship, we always go back to the standard because God is love, and we measure our love against the kind of the way that He loved. Think about this. Think about the when He created us. In Genesis, you remember in Genesis when He says that you, both male and female, are created in the image of God, that He put inside each one of you this thing of love. He created you to love. He created you to desire to love. He created you to be loved. He put that inside of you. This is a piece of God that's inside of all of His creation. But only for Christ followers who have invited Jesus into their life does this blow up into its full expression, and we'll see that in a minute. But God is love. This is the very essence of who He is. And so everything, we always look to Him. And so John goes on to write, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. There is so much in this one verse about biblical love. You know, biblical love is a choice. Because that's what Jesus did. Or that's what God did. He chose to love. Love is a decision. And so many times we get this wrong. We think it's those feelings that we have in our stomach, you know, or those emotions that we have. We think that's love. No, love is a decision and a choice that you need to make. Biblical love. Biblical love is sacrificial. You see that? When God made the choice to love us, Jesus willingly sacrificed. Biblical love is sacrificial. He gave everything. Biblical love is life-giving. Do you see? You can see that there in that one verse, and just it's eternal life. Biblical love brought eternal life, but biblical love is life-giving. When you are in your relationships, no matter who, what kind of relationship you're in, are they life-giving? This is biblical love. And then biblical love is pure. Meaning that it's the motives behind it isn't so that you'll get something out of it. God loved us in spite of our sin. God wasn't going to get anything out of this. He had a pure love motive. He came to love us right where we were at, knowing that some people would totally reject Him, knowing that some people would totally rebel, would walk away. And yet He chose to love them anyway. His motives are pure. Are your motives pure in the relationships that you have? Or are you hoping for something back? So, the apostle goes on in verse 10. And this, he's just like, this is mind-blowing. He's like, this is real love. It's not that we love God, but it's that He loved us. I mean, just stop and think about that. Biblical love goes first. This is God loved first. You know, if we love God. I mean, probably almost every one of you in here would raise your hand and say, "Yeah, I love God." But you know, you didn't love God first. We love God. I know this is true in my case. I love God because of the way that He has loved me. But God's standard, God's metric, is because He loved you first. He went first. And in our love, in biblical love, it's about it goes first. Does your love go first? Because, man, if you're anything like me, if this is how it looks like in my life. You know, Rick Moore loves if. Rick Moore loves if I have those feelings or, you know, those whatever inside of me. Rick will love you if. You know, your personality doesn't rub me the wrong way. You know, Rick will love you if. And what about you? What's your if? But biblical love says it doesn't matter. Biblical love just loves. And we can't miss this, that biblical love is a strong love. We see that there in that verse when it says that in this biblical love, that he sacrificed himself to take away our sins. Think about this. Think about the agony. If you in your mind can think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before he would lay himself down on the cross, before he would go through all that torture, think about how strong his love was. When he was there praying to God the Father, he had all kinds. He was angst. He didn't want this to happen because he knew the kind of torture that he would go through. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him and what was going to be called from him. And because God is a just God, God's a love, a God of love, but because he's a just God, did you see that in that verse? That Jesus did this to take away our sins, to take away all of our wrongdoing. Because he's a just God, somebody has to pay for Rick Moore's sin. Somebody's got to pay for your sin. Somebody has to pay. And it doesn't have to be you. Because Jesus' love was so strong, it would take on the entire weight of the world. And at that moment when he was like, is there some other way? Can't you just see Jesus in there like begging God, God, is there some other way that this cup can just pass from me where I don't have to go through this? And yet, because his love was so strong, it could carry the weight of the world. It was so strong that to his very last breath, he would live out that love for you and for me. And so John says this. John's like, dear friends, God, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. He's like, come on, guys. Come on. Who cares that you have a political view like that? It doesn't match yours. Will you just love them anyway? Who cares that they rub you the wrong way? Since God loves you that much, can't you just love them anyway? That's what he's doing here. He's calling them. Surely. He's like, come on. Surely you and I can love each other since God's loved us to this way. And now, guys, I want to talk to us in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to jump into this paragraph, but I want us to notice first in verse number 1, he's talking to everyone. He's talking to any Christ follower, anybody who's put their faith and their trust in Jesus as the Messiah. And the very first thing that he says in this paragraph, that Paul, this is the Apostle Paul now, so different author, but same message. He's like, imitate God, period. You need to imitate God. Now, we just walked through the foundation of love and what that looks like. Now, and Paul's calling us to imitate God in everything that you do. In every one of your relationships. So again, this is husband, wife. This is male, female. All of us need to imitate God in everything that we do. Because, he says, you're God's dear children. You know, you're Christ followers. You say that you're a Christ follower. Then you need to imitate God in all of your relationships. Not just the people that you like. But all of your relationships. And I know this is hard. And that's why if we slid down into this verse, he reminds us of the Holy Spirit and says, hey, you've got the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you allow the Holy Spirit, then you can imitate God. You can love. And then he also reminds us again, both people, you know, husbands and wives, male and female. In verse 21, he reminds us of this. He says, and furthermore, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. He's not just writing. He is writing to both husbands and wives. Husbands, submit to your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Men, submit to the women. Women, submit to men. He's right. If you call because of who Christ is, that's what he says here. Out of your reverence for who Christ is, If you say you're a Christ follower, then he says you need to submit to what is your boss calling you to do something. And I don't mean unethical. I don't mean anything like that. But you just don't like her way. And your boss is calling you to do something. Paul would say, imitate God. Submit to your boss. Submit to her way. Submit to his way. Then, Paul gets really, he zeroes in on this. He says, husbands, he calls us out, guys, he calls us out. Verse 25. He says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Whoa. That's pretty heavy. We just walked through how he loved the church in 1 John 4. And then Paul comes back and says the same thing, the same idea, that husbands, you've got to love your wives just like he loved the church. How did, and then Paul reminds us. And what Paul reminds us of is the gospel. This is why I tell people all the time when they ask about our church, I always say we're a gospel-centered church. You'll hear me say this. We're a Jesus church. We're a gospel-centered church. Because the gospel changes everything. The gospel is transforming. It always starts with the gospel, and it's always the gospel. And he goes on. Paul does this. He reminds us again. He, meaning Jesus, gave up his life for her, meaning the church. And understand this, when we say the church, we mean individual people. We're talking about you. You could insert your name here. Jesus gave up his life for Rick Moore. You could insert your name in there. He gave up his life for Zoe. He gave up his life for Ryan. He gave up his life for Jonathan. He gave up his life for Katie. He gave his life up for Ashley. You could insert your name into this. And I want to say this. There has never been a time that I can recall that I've ever had a relationship with a husband. A conversation. That's what I mean. Yeah. Let me get this right. I've never had a conversation with a husband who would not tell me, Rick, I'd lay my life down right now for my wife. Never once. And I believe them. I really do. I believe that. But yet, let me ask you this, because I know this is true in my life. We're so willing to say, I would take a bullet for my wife in a heartbeat. And we would. But we won't give up our wants. Oh, I'll sacrifice my life, but don't ask me to give up my opinion. Right? We do this. I'll give up my life for you, but come on, we're not going there. We've got to go over here. Jesus says, we got to give up. This is what biblical love is, guys. We got to give those things up. Be willing just to serve. This is what he calls us to. He calls all guys to this. And if you're a guy in the room and you're not married yet, you need to prepare yourself for this. To be willing to give up your opinion. To give up your way. To give up your way of folding the towels. Guys, if you're not married yet, this will blow your mind. An argument can happen because you folded the towel the wrong way. Yeah, hey, come on now. You know, this is true. I'm just speaking truth.
Amen.
Yeah, see? I had to learn the right way to fold towels. And why would I fight that? I'd be like, who cares? As long as it's in the closet, nobody's going to see it. Oh, I'll lay my life down for you, Zoe. but I'm not going to fold the towel the way you want me to. Come on, Rick. It just doesn't make sense, does it? I can't tell you how much conviction that I experienced over this past week. As I sat here and I thought about, Rick, are you loving Zoe this way? But I'm committed. I'm gonna do it better in the second half of my life. It's gonna change. So he reminds us. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean and washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. And instead, he will be holy and without fault. Or she will be holy. The church, we will be holy because of what Jesus did. You see the sacrifice there. You see the gospel there. You see the reason why we have communion. And then he says this. He's like, husbands, in the same way that you love your wives, or that you love your own bodies, you need to love your wife just like you love your own body. As much as you want your own way, your love for your wife needs to be even stronger and come out ahead of your desires and your wants. This is the way that he tells us to love our wives. So we have to ask ourselves this question. And I've said this to you before, but I come back to this. What does love require of me? It requires submission. Guys, it requires submission. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes yielding their rights. Nobody. Nobody, this is so hard. This is a complete and total surrender. It starts first with God. This is why so many people will not come to God, because they don't want to submit to God. They don't want to surrender all to God. This, nobody likes this, the S word. You know, nobody likes this. This is hard. It doesn't sit well with anyone. But yet, what does love require of me? It requires submission. It requires surrender. It requires sacrifice, giving of it all. It requires that I be life-giving. When I go home, my first words need to be life-giving. Not, where is dinner? Why isn't dinner ready yet? You know, my first words need to be life-giving. This is what love requires of me. It requires that my motives are pure. It requires that your motives are pure. That you are serving, not for what you hope that you will reciprocate from it, but you are just being pure. I just want to serve you today. It requires that you go first and not worry about how it's received. Biblical love requires that we make the first move. And biblical love requires that we stay strong to the very end. And I know that there are people in the room that have been divorced. But in this relationship that you're in now is your chance to get it right. It's your chance to love strong until your very last breath. This is your chance. No, and if you're in a relationship right now, if you're in a marriage right now, and I'm not talking about if there's some kind of abuse going on. That's not what I'm talking about. Because obviously, there are steps you need to take. And you need to get out of, if there is abuse going on, you need to leave. I'm just going to say that right now. If there's physical abuse going on, or any kind of abuse going on in your relationship, you need to get out and you need to get help. You need to get counselor, biblical counselors into your life, and so that you can try and restore the marriage. And it may not be restored, because that abuse may never stop. But you need to get out. Please hear me say that. But outside of that, your love for your spouse should be so strong that you are willing to go to your grave, your dying breath, saying, I'm committed to this to the very end. And even if you've been divorced in your past, you can get this one right and be committed to the very end. Because that's what love requires. I love how John does this. So let's go back to the Apostle of John. And John does this in verse number 12. He says, no one has ever seen God. And everybody who's listening, everybody who got that letter is like, duh, yeah, we know this, John. You're not telling us anything new, right? But, he says, if we love each other, if you have that biblical love inside of you, God lives in us. And this is what's mind-blowing about this. He says his love, God's love, is brought into full expression in us. What he's saying is that you may be the only God-like figure that somebody ever sees because of the way that you love them. God's full expression of who he is can come through you. It's possible. It's possible for us to love in all of our relationships like this. If we allow God to work in us, if we allow his gospel to transform us and to change our minds, our hearts, and our attitudes, this is possible. But it takes full surrender. It takes full submission, full surrender on our part. And I want you to listen to some NFL football players as they talk about surrender.
The word surrender to me is always one that I struggle with, because to me it deals with responsibility, where usually you think of it as a place of weakness. For me, it's freeing because the responsibility is no longer on me, it's on God.
It's more of a sign of entrusting, I would say, at least in terms of what you're giving to the Lord.
I think that's a word that has a lot of layers to it, you know, and so you talk about surrender. I mean, you know, it's different in the game because I'm out there yelling to my team, never surrender, never retreat. But when it comes to God, it's totally different.
The notion when we hear surrender, it takes such a negative tone because we feel like it means give up, it means quit. When you surrender, you're giving up to things that are going to suffocate you anyway. And he's calling you into a life that in some respects may be different than what you believe is going to satisfy you, but it's ultimately going to bring you peace.
There's many times where it's difficult to surrender to God. I think one of the main ones is probably when trials and tribulations hit, because we're trying to control it so much ourselves.
I think everybody's default would go back to some form of selfishness.
And for me, it just came to a point where I just got tired. I got tired of living that life. I got tired of living a double life.
And it's hard to sometimes separate those types of things because we're so flesh and worldly and a lot of me, 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 and really none of you in serving and surrendering.
I've always wanted to know I'm going to be on this team for this amount of time and, you know, really have my future set. So that was selfishly just wanting to know everything was going to be okay, you know. And I think for me, the course of my career being the way it has been, it's continued to put me in a space of faith all the time.
You know, it's a fight. You know, it's a fight with the devil. It's a fight with the enemy.
It seems so backwards. Why do I give all these things up that make me feel good, right? That seems backwards. But there is such a greater joy. There's such a greater happiness and fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
God's saying, hey, listen, you can give up and completely let go of whatever it is because I'm worth it. In turn, you're going to be getting something by giving up a little. You're going to be getting something so much greater.
I've heard all the sayings, you know, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. But when you're in the midst of it for real, you know, all those cliche sayings kind of just go out the window. And you're sitting there like, no, I can handle it. And you want to just, you know, do it yourself so bad. But you really gain power through him when you surrender and let him take care of it.
God God wants everything. He wants your entire life. He wants it all because he knows how to use it the best.
All the pressures of worldly expectations and standard are gone. All those things that used to weigh me down, I think it's not mine anymore. I don't have to worry about it because I've surrendered.
You surrender the things that, you know, you want to hold on to and say, I did this, you know, I got it to the NFL. When you finally surrender those strongholds, you are free and you're at peace. And there's no peace like the covering of Jesus Christ.
This morning, we want you to take out your connection card. And that very, I want everyone take out your connection card this morning, please. And I want you to look at that very first next step. And on there, it talks about surrender, because that really is every person's very first next step is to surrender to God. It says, I need to surrender my life to God. Pray for me. I need to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior by surrendering my way for God's way. We want to pray for you by name. Would you put your name next to that if this is where you're at? And if you want to have a conversation, add your phone number on there so that we can call you. The other step on there says, I admit I'm not secure in God's foundational love for me. I need to surrender to God's foundational love so I can be the full expression of His love to my family. Maybe this is your very next step. And what you need to do is, for the rest of this week, would you read 1 John 4, 7 through 12? And just read it and reread it and until you become solid in the core of who you are, in God's love for you, secure in His love for you alone, in this biblical love, so that you can love others, so that you can have a healthy relationships in all of your relationships. We want to pray for you. But then this last is just very practical. You're saying, Rick, I'm going to spend more time, more intentional time with my wife, my family, and pray that I make this a priority on my calendar. Here's what I know. What doesn't get in my calendar typically doesn't get done. You need to put this in your calendar and make it a priority so that you can have the kind of healthy, thriving marriage, so that you can be the husband, the wife, so that you can love your kids that God's calling you to. I want to pray for all of us. Will you stand this morning? Jesus, we come to you and our heart is in full surrender. That's my heart. This is what I want to do. God, we want to surrender. We want to give up everything to you. And I pray that for every person in this room, that we all would surrender every area of our life to you. Please. And Father, I'm praying, Jesus, that all of us would be able to live our life secure in the foundational love that you have for us, so that we can love the right way in all of our relationships across the board. And Jesus, may it be said of the people that go to Cranston Christian Fellowship, there's just something different about them. And may it be the way that we love each other. Please, dear God, please. We pray this in your powerful name.